you guys know it. Oh, by the way, it's April 13th, 2011. Wednesday, April 13th, 2011. A cloudy, rainy day in Toronto. Now, let me tell you, you guys know I've been paying $30 a month to do this show since February, so I'm offering everybody to do ads to pay for it, right? But you know what? I haven't had one ad offer. No one's asked me to do an ad who isn't already a regular on the show and, you know, feels pity for me, and I'm not taking those. I'll do freebies for the regular user-generated content people. I don't want money from them. I want real ads. And people who come on this show and then go and advertise elsewhere, you know what? $2 or $3 is just too much for these guys. So anyway, I got a new offer. I mean, it's not working for me, the ads. I got a new offer. On Blog Talk Radio, they rearranged the pages. Now they let me put up 1 gig of pictures on every show. If you go to recruitinganimalshow.com and click on the current show, you'll see a whole bunch of pictures. I just thought about, you know, what I might put in there at the last minute. So I'm going to start charging $1 a picture, not for the regulars. I'll put your picture there for free. But if you want an ad there for your company or your blog or your personal brand, I'll charge you $1. That's all it's going to take. 50 cents plus a 50 cent service charge, okay? That's worth it. And the price is going to go up, I'm going to tell you, because these spots are sure to sell like hotcakes. So you want to get in early before it's too expensive for ordinary people. Now, I got some good news, shifting gears, on the split partner front. You might remember that I made a placement with another recruiter last year. The candidate started on June 1st, 2010, and soon after that, I lost contact with my split partner. Anyway, that's a long time ago, right? Yesterday, he paid me $1,500, which is not, you know, that's a little tiny portion of the fee, small portion of the fee, but it wasn't a big fee, but that's a portion of it. But just that was a big surprise, and he said he's going to pay me the rest, but, you know, I don't know. And I have another curious thing. I don't know if it's because I got more aggressive. I wrote to the client, and I asked him to tell my partner to pay me, or I'm going to subpoena him, the client, and the candidate, and all the accounting information to take him to court. When I take him to court, I said I was going to, and so, you know, I know the guy doesn't like that kind of stuff. The client, he's kind of a cranky guy, and he got in touch with my split partner, and that drove him crazy. We had a big shouting match. Usually I communicate through email. We had a shouting match last week, and he said, you know, recruiting animal, that's wrong to contact the client. I would never do that. He said he's my moral teacher, the guy who hasn't paid me for 10 months. Anyway, he also got really insulted. I'm just going to fill you in because I suggested that he had a drinking problem. I didn't want to mention it till now, but, you know, when we were working together, he used to call me up at 10:30 or 11 and slur and ramble on. And now, because he didn't want to pay me, I figures he's having problems, and this is the reason, his drinking. And he got really indignant. He said, how dare you accuse me of drinking? He says, that's what diabetes does to you. Well, I didn't know that diabetes makes you call people at 11 o'clock at night for no reason at all. Anyway, maybe they have insulin shock. Whatever. He promised to pay me more money in May. Let's see what happens then. But today, we've got a guest who used to be a world champion rower. A rower. His name's not Winklevoss. It's Mike Hard. Mike Hard is his real name, and he's got all the confidence of a champion. He thinks he's going to revolutionize the recruiting business, even though he's never been a recruiter in his life. And you know what? I don't think Jerry's here. So Jerry!
Well, you weren't here when I started.
You don't have a control panel on that thing? You can't see through 6-0?
Yeah, you weren't here when I started.
You want to do the shout again?
No.
You're out of it? You don't feel like it?
The moment
it's all out of sync right now, man.
Okay, here it goes.
The recruiting animal show! Sometimes, would
I
you?
I was looking hard. I was
yeah.
saying he's not there.
Answer, Gary. He called out to you. You didn't answer.
Yeah,
well,
I did.
His mic wasn't open.
I did.
Mike Hard. Man. Mike Hard, are you there?
I am. Is this thing on?
Oh, he's echoing.
Speakerphone.
No,
are you
no,
on
no
a
I'm
speaker
not on a speakerphone.
Are you in a public washroom?
No, I'm not.
Bathhouse.
What are you doing wrong?
He's
I talked to you
Skype.
On the phone yesterday.
He's on stage somewhere.
No, I'm
Where
on.
Are you?
You know what? There's. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. I wasn't on a speaker, but I'm here.
You know, he's a troublemaker. You can tell already.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He's scrappy.
Now listen, Mike.
Yep.
Listen, I got a bad attitude about you already, but I was going to ask you to do me a favor. We've got a live blogger on this show called Resume Strategy, and she had a hard time getting up today because she's got jet lag. Yeah, and she's hoping that you're going to turn her into a hard charger with an exciting show. No more tricks like that, okay?
You got it.
The first thing we're going to do, though, is sing a song. You know what song we're going to sing? We're going to sing a song for Steve Levy. He got mad at me because we didn't wish him happy birthday on the show. I think it was 2 weeks ago already. But we're going to sing a song for Steve Levy. And because Mike Hard is on the show, we're going to sing A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. Do you know that song, Mike? Don't tell me you don't.
Bob Dylan loved him. Concert for Bangladesh. Yeah.
Yeah, Concert for Bangladesh.
Oh, look at him.
Gee whiz. Yeah, look at him.
That shows
right.
how old I am.
1972. Was it 71 or 72?
I can't tell you.
Okay, it was just released a couple of years ago. Anybody else going to sing Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, just the chorus? Anybody know it?
Mm-hmm.
You just say, it's a hard rain, it's a hard rain, it's a hard rain's gonna fall. Are you ready,
okay.
Mike, you and me? It's a hard.
It's a hard.
It's a hard.
It's a hard.
Hard. It's a hard.
Hard.
It's a
hard.
Hard. You won my heart with that. So you sang. I mean, you're about the only person. But in spite of that, thank you, Rayanne. In spite of that, you too, Rayanne. And in spite of that, I have to put you on the side for a second because we've got Sullivan Mark D here. Mark, are you here?
Yes, I am. How you
Mark?
Doing? Yep, I'm here.
Mark's a regular on this show, and he's looking for a job now. You got the boot. Is that right, Mark?
I did in mid-January.
Why?
Due to a reorganization.
Well, is that a code word or is it a real one?
No, they publicly announced in 2010 that they were going to
no
go
hard
from
breathing.
six regions down to two, and they didn't need six directors of talent acquisition. So
wow.
I got the I had a sense it was coming. And the good news is my wife and I, being recruiters, and hopefully everyone on the line is doing the same, is when the recession started, we started living very conservatively.
Conservatively, okay, yeah.
Yep,
you're not drinking, are you? Not like my flip partner.
Diabetes.
But I'm not desperate for a position, but I am looking, and I'm being very selective because of, you know, I want to make sure it's a good fit and I can spend a good bit of time at my next employer.
Okay, now we're going to ask you, during the course of your search, which maybe it's good if it's a little longer so we have more of a chance to talk to you, but we're going to ask you for, you know, little nuggets of wisdom that you pick up along the way. First thing I'm going to ask you, though, do we know your wife? She's a recruiter. Is she involved in social media?
Nope, she's Rayanne knows my wife now, but through the South by Southwest, but she's a project manager, a technical project manager for a small company here in Austin.
Oh, okay.
Not too involved in social media, not a recruiter. Yeah.
Maybe I've got diabetes. I was sure he just said that his wife was a... Okay, so Mark, just to start off today, just give us your elevator speech, okay? What do you say when they say, tell us a bit about yourself?
tell a bit of myself. I'm 17 years in recruiting. I was most recently the director of talent acquisition, leading a team of 17 people for all recruitment operations for frontline positions up to executive level. I'm looking for a role that would be similar, where I'm leading a team. The size does not matter, but we want to have a positive impact on an organization's talent acquisition function, and hoping to improve it and have the team recruit as efficiently and effectively as possible.
You know what? That's I liked it until you got to the efficiently and effectively part. Leave that crap out. But you know what? I think that you're the kind of guy. You're the kind of guy that Mike Hart, our guest today, is the CEO of BountyJobs.com. We're going to talk about that in a sec. But Mike, he's the kind of guy you want to deal with, right?
Absolutely.
Because you told me in the end, your company is going to be geared to users like him. Is that right?
Yeah, we need people that are running talent acquisitions team and they're sending jobs out to search. We'd love to talk with a guy like Mark.
Okay. So, Mark, are you going to stick around for the show, Mark, or is there anything else you want to say about your search for this first report?
Well, the first report is that we do want to tell people that when you're in a job search, one of the things that I have done is I've kept a daily routine. I don't have the TV on. I get up at the same time I get up when I was working. I have my plan. I set my day out. I spend about 4 to 6 hours a day doing something job search related, and that has resulted in averaging at least one phone call a day, either someone calling me or me reaching out and networking. So I've had a lot of activity. Hopefully something will hit soon, but that's what's been going on so far.
How many interviews? Do you count them, or do you want to tell us? I don't know what's private here.
Phone interviews, I've had around 8 to 10 phone interviews. With companies. I've had probably about 15 exploratory phone discussions with either recruiters or with companies where it's been determined.
Yeah, that doesn't count, the recruiters. We're not talking about interviews, first interviews. You've had 8, you said?
8 to 10, yep.
And no face-to-face?
I've had 2 face-to-face.
Okay, is anybody taking stats here? We're going to start counting for you, okay? Anything else you want to tell us before I get rid of you?
Nope, that's it.
Mark, can you relocate, or are you staying
yes,
there?
Yes, I can relocate, yep.
I have a quick question. Do you think that your activity in social media has hurt or helped your job search?
It's definitely helped.
Okay.
In what way?
How?
So when I first got the news and I came home from the day at the office, I immediately went in, updated my profiles, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. I put a message in all 3 accounts. Within the first 48 hours, I had over 100 separate conversations, either by phone, email, or through social media, with people offering advice, offering leads. Within that first time period, I had 3 solid leads. The feedback came back, too expensive on salary, not able to relocate, and the third one was I didn't have enough of industry-specific knowledge for that one company,
The point is, with social, all that great social media, 3 months have gone by, and you're still looking, right?
But that's
being
because
selective,
we're being selective.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay.
So people are They're sending me leads through social
media.
Yeah.
Okay. You tell us in your next report, okay? I got to get rid of you now. I got to get.
All right.
You can stick around
good luck,
if you
Mark.
Want. Do you shave
Bye,
every
Mark.
Day, Mark? You said you keep your routine. Do you shave every day?
I shave every day. Every once in a while, I will skip a day, though.
Okay.
You never know. I might get called for a video interview.
Michael, remember this, based on what he just said. You remember when the FLQ kidnapped that British trade commissioner in Montreal, Mike?
For some reason, I always remember, like, the Red Brigade in Italy kidnapping somebody.
I don't live in Italy, okay? I'm just north of the border.
Oh, you
what
live in Montreal,
was,
do you?
No, but they kidnapped a provincial cabinet minister who they killed, and because they were so oppressed, and then they maybe they did it by accident, but there was another guy, James Cross, and I was pretty young, I was reading it, and he said after he was released, he said, I made sure I shaved every day whenever I could. And I thought, well, what the hell is he shaving for? But now that Mark explained it, I understand. Okay, after all these years. Okay, Mike, let me just do a little preamble. You were a champion rower. You took architecture at school. You were at Microsoft for 17 years, and in the end, you ran digital advertising sales. Then you worked for a startup doing software and digital advertising, and then you were recruited to BountyJobs.com. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Do you want to give us your elevator speech? You have one?
Yeah, I've got one. Let me tell you a little bit about Bounty Jobs, and then I can tell you what we believe in, and I think it's important
to
let people know.
Okay, I asked for your elevator speech. Okay, but you do it your way. Go ahead.
All right. Of course, you'll cut me off when you need to.
Thank
you. So listen, Bounty Jobs is the critical thing about us is we're a business-to-business recruiting marketplace, and so we are the place, we're a portal where employers go to engage headhunters to fill jobs. We're growing fast. We're particularly strong with the Fortune 500 companies, and the way people use us is very simple. If an employer's got a job that they want to send a search, they post it on our site. The headhunters that want to work on it request engagement on the job. Employers have data that they can use to choose the headhunters. Data on interview rates, data on candidates that have been placed.
We get that out. Should I let you continue, and we'll get to those details after? Go ahead.
Do it any way you want, but yeah, we can get to it at the end.
I like
this
guy. He's scrappy.
And scruffy, by the way. I have not shaved.
You're not scruffy. Well, you look like Andy. Okay, go ahead.
No, animal. It's a style choice. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But so then, after people choose the headhunters, then the headhunters compete to send candidates and fill the jobs. And so at the core of what we do, it's a marketplace. The whole idea is if you get the right employers on the site and the right headhunters on the site, they can meet each other. But then we also have a website and technologies that help match them, help them communicate, and help measure how they do.
Wouldn't it be easier if you just said we're the eBay of recruiting?
Yeah. I mean, kind of. The only issue is like eBay. Recruiting's more complicated than just buying and selling lamps. And so, it's a marketplace. We're like eBay in that we expose buyers and sellers to each other. But then we have a variety of tools that help them communicate with each other and track the search. That's how we're
different. Okay. So now let's get to the stats on eBay. If you're a buyer, you get to rate the seller afterwards, right?
Right.
And
that's
now,
correct.
So and here you're saying that you're giving the employers information about the recruiters who are bidding on their jobs. Is that right?
That's correct. We don't rate anybody. We give them info.
How do you get that? Well, you don't rate them. How do you get that? How do you get that information?
We track all of the activity that they do through the site. And by the way, we give the agencies information on the employers too. And my feeling is that I don't want to give people stars or thumbs up or thumbs down on how good they are. I don't disagree with those ideas. I just don't think it's right for recruiting. What I think is that when somebody wants to choose who to work with on the headhunting side, they want to know, have you placed candidates in this industry before? When you send candidates over for a job, how many of those candidates end up getting interviewed? That's the kind of data that we expose to the employers, and they really like it.
Okay, but that's only after they've done business on your site for a while. Somebody coming in new is an unknown quantity. They can only supply information that they give you. Is that
absolutely
right? What about
that's
somebody
right.
coming in new? Okay.
Yeah, so people that are in the site already definitely have an advantage, but then people that can come in, we work with them over the first couple of months to help them get statistics up, and they end up competing on jobs just as well.
You know, Maureen, I don't think Maureen's here today. She's the money-hungry lady.
I was looking forward to Maureen giving me grief.
Maureen, well, her question is going to be, what do you charge? What's your take?
Okay. So when people come in to use this, it's free to use. It's free to just post jobs. It's free for headhunters to get into the system. You need to be approved before you can come on. It's a private marketplace, but, you know, it's there's no cost to it. The way I make my money is that if an agency ultimately is successful in making a placement, I take a portion of the fee. I take a business development fee. I take 25% of that fee. That's how we make our money.
Anybody want to start talking about that right now? Because I read complaints that that's too much for running a website. Anybody got a comment?
Not yet.
Oh,
nope?
Come on.
Okay. No, well, we haven't warmed them up yet. Now,
all right. Should I talk about what I believe in? Can I say that?
No. Let's just talk a little about the history of the site. You're like the second generation of the site. Yeah, you're the second generation of the site, right?
I'm the second generation CEO, if you will. Yes.
Okay. And so, who was the CEO before you?
It was a guy named Jeremy. I haven't met him. He and there were two guys who founded the site back in 2006. One was the guy that came up with the concept and was more of a sales and marketing guy. The second
Who's
guy created
that noise?
The
Come on! I'm gonna egg you off. Who's making the noise? Shut up. Go ahead. Sorry.
Wow. Okay. Thank you very much. But believe me, it wasn't me. The second guy that was a co-founder created the technology. He's actually still on my board, and they did a great job. The first
did somebody fire them and bring you aboard? Were there investors who said you guys aren't doing a great job? We need somebody with some smarts, business smarts. You're on the board. You're out. We're bringing in Mike Hard.
The original founder left the company, and I can't say anything more than that. I've actually got an agreement where I'm not allowed to say anything more.
He could go to prison. Oh. Don't make him talk.
Don't make me talk. And I do not want to – I will not do well in prison.
Okay. What about – you weren't a recruiter. You've never been a recruiter, but you've been a hiring manager, right?
Yeah, I've been a hiring manager. Yeah, my background is – you know, I am an enterprise guy. I'm a technology guy that likes to sell technology into large enterprises. And so Bounty Jobs is something that combines technology and service with recruiting. So, yes – I have not been a recruiter. I have a lot of recruiters that work for Bounty Jobs, but I am primarily in technology and working with large accounts.
Okay, now you told me, resume strategy, I'm just pointing this out to you. He told me yesterday that recruiting is a $5 to $8 billion business. I don't believe it. Go ahead. Justify that.
You're talking to me or to resume?
Yeah, I'm you. I'm just giving. She's going to write whatever we say. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
She doesn't like it when I quote the people. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Listen, the only kind of statistics that I can find on the contingent recruit, you know, people that work for a contingent fee is SIA. And SIA has said that, you know, the industry really fluctuates. And in 2008, there were $8 billion that were spent on recruiting fees. And last year, it went down to as low as $4 billion. And so that sounds about right to me. That's just contingent fees spent, actually checks written on headhunters filling jobs. The retained market is twice as much.
I just find it unbelievable. Does that include contract recruiters? Jerry here, who's your potential enemy, just let me tell you.
Why would you say that?
Yeah,
because
Jerry's
expect you to retract that immediately.
I read your comments on recruiting blogs, and let me thank Jason Davis, J.D. Jason Davis, a.k.a. at Slouch. He booked Mike. I asked him to come on and announce him and take a bow for it, and I was going to say, Jason, what mark do you think on a scale of 1 to 100 Mike is going to get in the after show, but he didn't want to come. But I want to acknowledge Jason. He's Mike's manager, okay? So anyway, so
wait,
but
and
I
the
saw,
after
I
show
saw,
is when you guys all give me grief after I'm already
yeah.
left the call? Okay,
yeah,
got it.
That's right, and you can't defend yourself.
That's
only
right.
if it's deserved. I mean, that's
yeah.
not
that's,
that's
right.
not the platform.
Anyway,
I'm ready.
Okay, come on. Anyway, my point is this guy places IT recruiters on contract. Is that included in the
no,
8 billion? I would imagine so.
No. It's just permanent contingent recruiters fee spent on permanent.
And that doesn't include the retained searches as well, which are very,
no,
very
retained
high.
Is just as much. So the retained is it does not include retained.
Wow.
Oh,
hello.
Listen,
doing that. Look at that, Rianne.
It's not me. I was being funny.
Okay. Well, anyway, okay. So we're the figures are getting huge now because you're just – and that's the only – so you only deal with contingent recruiters, no contract guys. It's permanent placement.
Yeah,
okay.
And that's the first thing we believe. I mean, that's the important thing is, like, we only work with companies when companies send a job to contingent recruiters, and we think it is a thriving industry, and I've got statistics to prove it, too. And so that's
Are those statistics the one you just gave us? You said to me yesterday, I think the headhunting business is on fire.
Yeah.
Want to back that up? Go ahead.
Yeah. Jobs that went to headhunters increased by 27% in Q1 of this year. So there.
That's because the economy's coming back. But isn't there a big disaster coming in the U.S. economy soon?
No.
Okay. Okay. You know, somebody's, because they believe it, they're doing business on the radio.
Somebody's cold calling in the background. How about that?
Let's listen.
Gee whiz, yeah. Okay, sorry. Okay, so Mike, is there anything you wanted to go move to, or should I just keep asking you questions?
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know?
I'd love to move to something else. I mean, the first thing we believe is, you know, headhunters work really well, but the problem, gosh, who's, somebody really is doing business.
Let's just listen,
we can hear who that is. Just give us a second. Oh, they're done.
Now they're done. Okay, they'll
muted.
Start as soon as
they muted.
Okay.
Sounded like Carlos Porter.
Yeah, it did sound like it to me, too. Anyway, we got this guy from 2009. I just want to read you this on Jeremy Johnson on recruitingblogs.com. He said, we filled three positions with bounty jobs totaling $68,000. Carla, get off the phone! Jeez.
Sorry, Admiral.
Yeah, okay. We filled three positions with bounty jobs totaling $68,000. To withdraw your money from bounty jobs, you have to wait 61 days. At 61 days, I tried to withdraw the money, but the system would not let me. Diane, the office manager, told me that none of the companies had paid, but she received voicemails from all three, and maybe the check would be here Monday. So I thought, this is what Jeremy's saying, I thought, she must have thought that I was an idiot. I called the companies, and they told me they paid within 30 days, as agreed per their agreement with bounty jobs. They emailed me PDFs of the cashed checks. When I contacted bounty with this information, they denied the checks were cashed and told me that they have not been able to contact AP, accounts payable, in those companies for the last 30-plus days. I called and spoke with the AP people on the first try. Bounty jobs will not return calls or emails any longer. And two of the phone numbers I had just ring and ring with no answer. I would say to employers and recruiters, beware. Now, that was 2 years old. What do you say to that? You must have seen it.
Have I seen it. So, first of all, 2 years old, and I'd say, you know, listen, the critical thing in here is we do have a payment policy, and it's really important to let people know. I, on every job that is posted on Bounty Jobs, I give the company a money-back guarantee. If that employee leaves for any reason, I don't care, maybe they were the wrong hire, maybe they never showed up, I give the company a money-back guarantee for 60 days. If it's the, if the fee is over 20%, I give them a 90-day money-back guarantee. And so I collect the money from the company. I have to wait till I'm getting paid, but then I can't release the remainder of the fee to the headhunter until the 60 days is up. Otherwise, I could be just kind of stranded because I have to give the money back to the company.
But,
so, yeah.
Mike, though, regarding that, though, shouldn't the lady from Bounty Jobs have said, hey, well, our policy is, you know, 60 days or 90 days, rather than saying, no, they haven't paid. I can't get AP on the phone. I can't reach these people. I mean, wouldn't that be the more sensible approach?
It is
rather
a
than
sensible
dodge
approach.
It?
Oh,
sense.
It absolutely is. And I think that's what we do. It's hard to get into a he said, she said with somebody on recruiting blogs, but we do, that is our policy. Do we do it right all of the time? I'm sure that we don't, but for 99% of the times we do. And if anybody thinks like we didn't explain it well, and if they disagree with it, I'm absolutely ready to talk to people about it. But that's what our policy is, and we execute it pretty well most of the time.
So did that guy get paid?
I don't even know who that guy is. Jeremy over Recruiting Blogs, I'd have to look into it.
I'll give you his
and
name.
From two years ago?
Yeah, Jeremy Johnston at Integrity Plus. I'm starting with 2 years ago and working my way up, okay? You told me, I sent you these articles, and you said I want to address these issues. Don't act like I'm being stupid now, okay? We agreed
on it. I thought I just
did.
I thought I addressed it, but you got it, man. Keep going.
Okay. Well, then there's Marina Hartung, also from 2 years ago. She said, my clients paid immediately and were not very happy to find out that I didn't get paid until 60 days later with quite a large cut. One of the placements was a $25,000 fee, and my firm received $18,750. That's a significant cut for running a website. I agree that bounty jobs should be paid something, but 25% of a fee is a rather large split, especially for a recruiter who works for agencies who generally take most of the fee anyway. She means she has to split the fee with her manager, and then they have to split it with you. It's getting pretty whittled down. That's her comment.
She signed up for it. She knew what she was into. I disregard
that. You
want to
answer for him? Are
yeah.
you the guest, Jerry? Go ahead.
Any business person should be able to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Complaining about the cost of the service after the service was rendered is kind of lame.
You know, it's interesting. We've got an opinion. I mean, I think that people use headhunters all of the time. I think they should, but I think the process with which employers work with headhunters is just broken. I think it is broken on a lot of different levels, and one of the ways it's broken is that a lot of the really good third-party agencies out there source great candidates, but they have real tough times getting into the best accounts. I mean, business development is hard. I'm not saying we're the only way to do business development, but we get good headhunters in the doors of some of the best companies in the United States. And you know what? I tell people up front, I'm going to take 25% of that. And they accept that. And most people are fired up about that because 25% of something is better than 100%, you know, of nothing. Or I think I switched that around a little bit. But so for that particular person to complain that I took 25%, guilty, but she knew it up front, and most people are psyched about it because I'm opening up doors and getting them into accounts that they never would have gotten into before. And you told me, Animal, you told me to bring examples. I've got examples when you need them.
Right now.
All right. So, listen, great, a very, very good headhunter, and he doesn't know I'm going to be talking about him on the show, so he'll probably get mad at me, but a guy named Jeff Meyer, who's with the Richmond Group. Richmond Group's actually pretty well known. I mean, they're a group that they just focus on very senior sales positions in healthcare, and he came on because he was a preferred vendor of WellPoint. So WellPoint is one of those companies that came onto Bounty Jobs because they had too many jobs going out to headhunters. They wanted to consolidate their list, and Jeff came on, and he wasn't too happy when he came on because it was a part of a vendor management system. But he gave it a shot, and he learned it. He got his statistics up on Bounty Jobs. And in January and February, we introduced him to Thomson Reuters, who's on Bounty Jobs, and we introduced him to Hewitt, who's on Bounty Jobs, and he bid on the jobs, and he just made two fills. So he was able to get in the job on two big jobs, you know, 150K salary jobs, 20% fees, because we were able to open doors with him. Now, is Jeff, like, just relying on Bounty Jobs to do his business development? No. But Jeff is augmenting. He's typical of the headhunters on Bounty Jobs. I'm adding about 20-30% to their revenue every year because I'm getting them more jobs for the candidates that they have. That's the way it works. Is it for everybody? No. If some people feel like they can get into companies.
Okay. Yeah, don't repeat yourself.
You told me to talk, James, man. You told me to talk.
And if you're putting me to sleep, Jerry was asleep 10 minutes ago. Now, look, James Zinman, he said on recruiting blogs, recruitingblogs.com, there's your plug, JD. Okay, he said he'd happily give you a 25% fee so he could monetize those people who are already in his database and, you know, people who were recruited and he has never been able to use. That means or implies that he doesn't want to go out and do a full search for this. Stop heavy breathing! So that he doesn't want to do a full search for the stuff he picks up on Bounty Jobs. He thinks it augments his practice in a way that he can, you know, get sort of rid of the dead wood. Not that they're not good candidates, but he's not actively, you know, doesn't have anything for them. What do you say to him? And I know you called him because he says here that he got a call from you.
Well, actually, he called me and he was asking me about Bounty Jobs and he said, I have a problem. I'm not getting paid. You know, what's the issue? And so I called him back and said, well, here's where things fell between the cracks, and can I address your concerns? And he said, yeah, you did. And so I called him because everybody that calls me, and by the way, my email is mike@bountyjobs.com, I respond to those emails because I want to hear what people are doing.
Was that, Mike, was that also a 60-day wait period thing? I mean, is that typically what people – is that not made clear to these users of Bounty Jobs that they have to wait 60 days?
Yeah,
why does
it
this surprise
made,
everybody?
You know, it's one thing to have the policy, and it's one thing to communicate it to people, but you know, we just need to be more clear about it, and we try to make it clear over and over again, and we need to do a better job. But the reason behind it, when I explain to people, it's because I have this money back guarantee, and that is the thing that lets me get the best companies and the best jobs. Most people understand it, but you know, is everybody happy with it? No, no.
Okay, so you told Jimmy, I met him twice. He's an energetic, well-dressed person, and I sent him an email, just in case he listens to this, sent him an email after the last Recruit Fest, I think it was called Radical North, and I said, you want to come on the show? I never heard back from him, okay? You called him back, but he didn't get in touch with me, not even to turn me down, okay?
I found him to be a nice guy. I don't know why he didn't call you back.
Okay, Alex Kovalenko, early from just a couple of weeks ago. We worked with them, Bounty Jobs, in the past, and it was nothing but a big waste of time. You cannot speak to a hiring manager. Positions already got put on hold. I don't know what that refers to. You really had no placement control. I am so happy we decided to remove our profile from their website and stop wasting time. Did you read that one?
I don't know if I read that one, but I've read a whole bunch of ones that are kind of the same thing.
You know what? What is this? Like, am I going to have to – there's 21 people on the line. I'm going to have to delete every – mute every one of them to find that jerk who's talking to people on the phone.
I didn't know because many
who is that?
Will refer other people.
I don't know.
Let's listen. Hold on a second.
That's not interesting for my audience to
just
listen
so
to
we can figure out who the dummy is.
It looks like you've had some experience with a few phone conversations.
Oh, my God. Who is
Carla.
That?
I have no idea.
It doesn't sound like Carla.
Okay. Specifically,
she's doing a candidate screening. Check it out.
She is.
So you may want to at some point send on your resume if you've gotten one.
It's simple. Hey, animal. just ask the different phone numbers on there and these lists of phone numbers. Have people
okay, I'll start muting them from the bottom.
Now question. I'm just looking at some of your programs.
I'm working my way up the line. There won't be anybody on the line soon.
Let's see.
Oh, she gone?
No.
I mean, this is a girl who was really interested in you and called in early. What's Carla's area code?
This has got.
Oh,
jeez.
I'm sorry, everybody. I mean, I've muted almost everybody.
What was the area
code? What's your area code? Mike, are you still here? What's your area code, Mike?
My area code is 646.
And you're 646 is not good. I don't see any 646 here. Okay, but she's gone, right?
What area code did
you
mute?
I muted most of them. There's about 20 muted.
Well,
when
it didn't go away, you should have unmuted.
Okay, let me just move. People are going to stop listening to my show because of this terrible
not because
sound
of that,
problems.
Man.
Okay, man.
Yeah,
Mike, you said you approve of, you told Craig Silverman that you approve of recruiters making cold calls, but, you know, maybe you're dealing with people who are afraid to make cold calls. Did you ever think of that? That's why they're letting Bounty Jobs knocking the doors for them?
Yeah, no, that's not the way people are. I mean, I do have a couple of people that have just said all they're going to do is use Bounty Jobs.
Hey, we didn't get to the other question. I'm sorry, everybody, you know. Maybe I'll be able to cut this part out of the show. What about the one that people, they don't have any direct relationship with the company. That's a huge issue, isn't it?
What do you mean by that? People don't have
the
direct relationship.
The recruiters don't have any direct – they can't talk to the hiring manager like I'm talking to you, right?
Yeah, they can talk with the company. They talk with HR. And sometimes there
are
companies
– On the phone or by email?
On the phone or by email or however way that the company chooses to talk with them. And so there are a lot of companies that decide that, you know, and people aren't going to be happy with this, but a lot of corporate recruiters have a desire to make sure that people don't talk to hiring managers. That's not a decision that Bounty Jobs makes. That's the decision that the corporate recruiters make. And you know what? I feel that corporate recruiters are damn good at what they do. Some people want to go around them. Some people don't like working with them. That's not a choice that I make. If the corporate recruiters want to communicate with the headhunters by phone, by conference call, we give them the ability to do that. I hear all sorts of things where people say, Bounty Jobs is not allowing me to go to the hiring managers. Bounty Jobs is shielding me from the companies. Bounty Jobs doesn't let me communicate with the companies. It's just not true. I mean, there are companies that say, listen, I'm HR. I'm dealing with a lot of jobs that are going out to headhunters. I need to be able to have a process here, and those are the people that come to us, and those are the people that use Bounty Jobs, and they're pretty happy with it.
Okay, Randy Chambers on March 14th of 2011 said, I've been experimenting with Bounty Jobs for over 2 years without success. Their biggest detriment is impersonability. I've never heard that before, but I kind of like it. Impersonability. That is the inability, or that's the ability to interact with client HR via email or phone, is essentially non-existent either before a resume is submitted or after. Frequently, an undecided message might display up for up to 8 weeks before a rejected message is received. In the interim, HR does not reply to emails or phone messages, hence I'm just a non-person or a commodity to them. So in spite of what you just said, does Bounty Jobs sort of encourage people to keep the recruiter at arm's length? In this case, that's an egregious example. 8 weeks of uncertain about what to do with your candidate? That's terrible.
Yeah,
after you put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, all I can say is, I mean, it, you know, employers responding to headhunters all across the recruiting industry is absolutely an issue. And is it an issue on Bounty Jobs? Yes, because it's an issue all over recruiting. But all I can say is that, you know, there are instances where employers don't get back to people, and we work very hard to say, listen, if you want to get the best headhunters, if you want to get the best guys working on your jobs,
Turn up on their report card?
Yes, it will.
How? How does it show up? How will I go there and know company XYZ, you know, kept this guy, you know, waiting for 2 months before they decided, and they didn't even tell him. They just put up a sign, do not disturb.
Yeah, when I talked to it earlier, I've got a team of software developers in Austin that are working on ways to just expose data on people so people can decide whom they want to work with. Later this year, what we're going to do is expose data on the employers so that headhunters can decide who they want to work with. Does this employer tend to pay on time? How quickly does this employer get back to me on my candidates? We do it now for employers on headhunters. We're about to roll out a release where we do the same thing
for headhunters looking at
employers.
So up until now, recruiters have not got the goods on the employers, right? It was a one-way street.
No, we need to make it better, but we absolutely do provide that information on employers. We say, you know, which people aren't logging in, which people aren't opening resumes. So we do a lot of that data. It's not perfect, and we need to improve it, and we are going to improve it later this summer.
Okay, Shannon Drawbaugh. What a name. Sorry, Shannon. March 14th, 2011, she said she's had a lot of success with your company. She's talking to somebody else on recruitingblogs.com. She says, have you found out who your account rep is at Bounty Jobs? My account rep knows me well, and I will tell you that it comes in handy. It's just like going to the bank instead of doing all your banking online, I guess. If they know your face and you smile once in a while. Anyway, she says there's been a few times where I was working on a position where things didn't seem to be moving along, or maybe the client wasn't communicating the best way they should. I just call my rep, ask her what's going on. She talks to the account manager for the client, and she always gets back to me with an update within 24 hours or so. They are a good source of information. You want to talk about the role of this account manager or account rep? We don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, what we have is, and I've got two teams of people that work at Bounty Jobs. I've got a whole team of account managers that just works with the employers, and I've got another team that works with the headhunters, and their job is to be able to spot problems that are coming up, like, listen, this particular employer is just never getting back to me. This particular employer is just not paying on time. This particular employer is whatever. And then I've got a team of people that works with that employer to say, again, if you want the best headhunters, you're going to have to behave, because for a headhunter, their most precious resource is their candidate. Second most precious is time. So if you don't get back to them in 3 or 4 days, they're going to move their business elsewhere.
Yep.
We've got teams that do that on the headhunter side and on the employer side.
Okay. D.K. Burnaby, March 14th, 2011. As a corporate recruiter, I used bounty jobs on occasion when I didn't have a referral or known entity to turn to in a new market. So person needs a candidate from a market where he has no contacts, and he says, in those cases, BJ is a good way to play the field. The thing about bounty jobs is that there's a lot of recruiters out there, many willing to work for lower fees than the agencies you contact directly. Is this bidding, the recruiters bid on jobs? Is that what happens?
No, not at all. And that's, you know, I love hearing some of the urban myths that go around bounty jobs, and one of them is headhunters
only. They're not urban. They're just myths, okay? Go ahead.
Okay, so they're like nationwide myths. Listen, the average fee on bounty jobs is 20%. The average salary on bounty jobs posted is $100,000. There are amazing jobs on bounty. The headhunters that work on bounty get great fees. Yeah, are there some that are below 20%? Sure. But there are, it's average, and so there's 25%, you know, 29% fees on bounty as well. You know, that's what a lot of people say when they really object to the model. I mean, somebody going into a marketplace and saying, I think that the way companies work with headhunters is broken, that could be pretty threatening to people, and I think a lot of people tend to throw out challenges like that when, honestly, it's just not true.
What is it that you
believe
to be broken?
Don't get worried. Yeah. I mean, I just want to make an announcement. Everybody seems to be listening right now. Lady, one of you is getting off the phone, off this thing, and taking calls while you're listening to the radio show and then talking, and we can hear you. And sooner or later, we're going to find out who you are, and it's not going to look very good for you. So when you take a call, you mute this mic, okay?
We're going to find
you. I know
you.
You're
we're
listening
hunt
now.
You down.
Can we get
it's
back to my question?
It's not time, animal.
Now, Jerry, what's your question? We're running out of time. Make it fast.
Mike, you've mentioned a few times that you believe that, you know, recruiting is broken. What do you mean by that? What's broken?
Yeah, well, the thing that I don't think is broken is people using headhunters. I think that's working really, really well. But people use them despite the hassles, and the hassles on the company side. Jerry, what I really mean is for companies that are sending a lot of jobs to headhunters. That's where it's really broken. And for those, you know, I've got companies that are sending that have like 50, 60 jobs out to search right now. They're engaging like 5 headhunters on every job. And for those people, it's just I'm not supposed to curse. It's tough. All right. And the things that are broken are you got no way to find the specialized headhunters to work on your job. One minute you're recruiting somebody for technology and healthcare. The next minute you need somebody that specializes on sales. It's no way to do that. Once you bring somebody on board, you got to get them through procurement. You got to negotiate the contract. You got to negotiate the fee. And there's no way to measure who's doing a good job for you. I mean, those are the things
I
think are broken. No.
Companies have no idea who's making placements and who is not.
Yeah, once you do it, there's no way to kind of say, okay, this guy, Jerry Albright, is doing a great job, you know, kiss, kiss, kiss. He's doing a great job. He's filling candidates within 45 days. His usual fee is X, and I want to compare him against this other guy that's on the preferred vendor list.
Speed it up. Mike, you're getting boring, okay? I just got to warn you.
Something?
I thought it was just being
ahead.
Useful.
Rebecca Sargent.
Yes.
That wasn't you on the phone, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, better. Don't admit it if it was. I'm just telling you. Go ahead. Ask your question.
I didn't have
ask
me?
Your question.
Yeah.
Rebecca,
say something
spit it
anyway.
Out.
I don't have a question. I like bounty jobs. I think it's a great, great product, especially for those independent recruiters that don't like to sell. It's a product I've kind of endorsed.
What kind of independent recruiter doesn't like to sell? They need to get out of the business.
That's all.
I have a lot of recruiters that are that are good head down recruiters that just really prefer not to pick up the phone and try to secure that whole thing. So.
Yeah, so, wow, for the first time ever.
Anything else you want to say, Rebecca?
Sourcing.
Rebecca, don't let Jerry talk you down. Do you have something else to say?
No, no. Thank you.
I have
something.
Rayanne,
did you
want
to say something? Who's that?
No, I'm enjoying
it. Who else wants to say something?
I do.
Who's that?
You?
Say your
this
name.
Is Stella.
I can't see you.
This is Stella.
Go ahead,
Stella.
Yes, I have. I deal with Bounty Jobs on a daily basis. We've used them for like the last round numbers about 70 days, and we are small. Well, we're a small gaming company down in Alabama, and without Bounty Jobs, I would have never been able to find some of the candidates that we needed to fill some of our specialty jobs. Our experience has been very good. We've had, you know, I've had $100,000 jobs I've posted, and I've had $35,000 jobs I've posted. And without those recruiters and using the Bounty Job concept, I would have never been able to recruit somebody to Atmore, Alabama, to work for our casino. It would never have happened. I mean, we've done it. And Bounty Jobs is a product that we tried that I was exposed to a couple years ago at a recruiting expo, and I was like, wow, this is interesting, and it actually works. So there's a lot of people who are naysayers and say, you know,
no,
it's
Animal,
not that good.
Animal, it's Andy. I don't think there's any HR department that wouldn't say good things about it. I think the problem comes in for the recruiter and that in-person ability that you talked about.
Right. Well, I agree with you from the standpoint of...
Hey, Stella! What about what Andy said? Do you talk directly? Do the hiring managers get?
Yes, because I know what it's like to be a recruiter. That's where I started in life, was being a recruiter. So I know it's important to pick up the phone. I mean, most of the recruiters that send me messages have my cell phone number. They call me. One of the recruiters called me at 9 o'clock at night asking for a follow up, and I gave it to him. So I think
it's about. Was he slurring at the time? Was he slurring his speech?
No.
Well, here she goes again.
Now, Stella, would you not be able to work with recruiters on your own, though?
Yes, but you know what? Here's my experience. I had a controller position. Okay, the finance industry is like all a mess. So you would think there would be, you know, 100 candidates that would want to come to a $150,000 a year job.
Mm-hmm.
And I had engaged two separate private companies that we have dealt with in the past who mm-hmm. could focus on somebody in the gaming industry. They gave me nothing. Everybody that they sent either wasn't qualified enough or they weren't interested in coming to Alabama, which is a big issue, granted. But, you know, We went that route because, you know, some of our hiring managers here have pre-existing relationships with other headhunters from their other companies. But I was like, look, let me try Bounty Jobs and let's just see, because the whole concept is, instead of me having two recruiters working on it, I could have 10 recruiters working on it. And that's why Bounty Job works.
Am I unmuted?
You know what? I told that jerk who must have heard me, don't talk on my show, okay? And there she goes again.
Stella, thanks for that answer. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Am I unmuted?
Okay. Is there anybody? Nobody else is muted. Nobody's muted. Anybody other testimonials? Come on, there's 25 people on. It's a lot.
I don't have a testimonial, but I have a comment.
Somebody's trying. Somebody's trying.
Mike A. Stringer. Mike A. Stringer, come forward. I recognize you. HumanCapitalConsultants.com. He's your ace in the hall. He's got the only ad today, too. Go ahead.
I've only been here 5 minutes, so I don't know what was covered and what wasn't covered. But my comment is, I don't think the best recruiters out there are using Bounty Jobs. I disagree with Rebecca that you know some good recruiters don't want to sell. I mean, the best contingent recruiters are working both sides of the desk. So from a corporate perspective, I've always thought that I'm not going to get the best contingent recruiters out there using Bounty Jobs. So I find it odd that somebody would even sort of go in that direction and think, hey, this is great. I have all these recruiters.
But you didn't justify it, Mike.
They're all these junior recruiters.
Why do you think the best recruiters aren't going to be using Bounty Jobs?
The lack of feedback was huge for me. I tried it out. You can't connect with an employer unless they decide to connect with you. So from a corporate perspective, I see why an HR person would say, hey, I don't want all these recruiters calling me. But from a recruiter perspective, we need that contact. And in my experience, there were several employers that were absolutely refused to have any contact whatsoever unless you were submitting a candidate.
But then you pick and choose who you work with. It's just like your own client base. If the client's not going to respond to you,
I agree with Mike. I mean, I think most of the best recruiters don't want impersonability. They're not going to put up with because because most of the best recruiters are in the placement business, not in the process business.
Nobody should have impersonability. Like that's the only thing I challenge is like there's no impersonability. The employers will only work with you when they accept you. Absolutely. And that's the way it is. But once they accept you, every single employer says, listen, I'll get on the phone with you. We have conference calls with people. There's plenty of personability.
But recruiters,
not all the time.
Hello?
But see, recruiters are hurdle removers. We don't like hurdles. And it's a hurdle to me. I think it's a great tool as to augment the business. I mean, I don't see anything wrong. It's a great idea on paper, and the website is pretty, and it's nice, and I get the best big old companies are using it. I get that. But we love the relationship, and we hate the hurdles, and if I don't have to put up with those, I'm not going to.
But you know what? Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Adrian. This is my first time coming, but...
Adrian, you have to speak a little loud because the jerk is in the background telling us all her business.
But you know what? You do have relationships with the clients. I've made 3 placements on Bounty Jobs. And after my first interview, I talked to the hiring managers and the HR, both of them. And I had great relationships with them. And I made 3 placements.
After your first interview, though, not when you were trying to get information on the rec.
But you know what? I have been on conference calls for rec, for information on the recs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually, you know, I usually have to email to get a little bit more information, but I've talked to them. So I think that it depends on the client. It's the same stuff that we have to deal with any client. There's good clients and bad clients. And I think you have to be picky on what you pick on Bounty Jobs because there is some junk there, and Mike knows that as well. But you have to be picky as a recruiter. I don't pick low fees. I pick high fees. I pick jobs that I like, and I've been pretty lucky. I mean, sure, I'll still have junky jobs, but I just don't attach to those anymore. I've learned kind of where to go. So I think that you have to look at per job, and I've had good experiences, and I think I've been, you know, I feel good about it. So,
hey, Mike, how many recruiters use Bounty Jobs?
There's 10,000 that are active on the site in the last year. And so at any given time, and what they'll do is they'll typically go on, they'll work for about 3 weeks, and then they'll kind of step back for about 2 weeks. And so, you know, it'll be like right now there's maybe 3,000 or 4,000, and then next week there'll be another 3,000 or 4,000. But over the year, I've kept it at 10,000.
Well, and I would, you know, my other point is back to A Stringer's comment. I don't think the best recruiters are engaging in horse races. They don't want to put up with it.
It's exactly the reason I stay away from vendor lists. I'm not going to be a part of a whole bunch of recruiters on a vendor list that just blindly submit candidates.
Mike Hard thinks that that's a very good thing. Mike, this is your entree. You told me you think it's good when recruiters have competition.
I think recruiters always have competition. And I think on Bounty Jobs, the way it works is we're giving the employer the ability to choose the 5 or 6 recruiters that they want to work with. Sometimes they do more. And then they all compete at that time to send the best candidates in a good environment. I do think that that's a good thing, and I think that it's not for everybody. But those headhunters that have a specialty in that job, think they have a great candidate, if they see that there are 5 or 6 other people that are engaged with a good recruiter, they like it, and it is the best way for the corporate recruiter to do it.
Mike, because I don't have time, and you're getting too wordy. The longer we're on, the more blah, blah you put out there. Listen to me. You think it's kind of like communistic if these guys only want one recruiter attached to the job? They don't want to have to compete with anybody else? It's not the American way, number one. Secondly,
coming from a Canadian,
you know about the American way, animal.
Yeah, coming from a Canadian over there.
What did you
North
just
American
say?
Way.
Listen,
it's
if you insist,
American
if you're a recruiter, if you're a headhunter, and you insist on having an exclusive relationship with the hiring manager, more power to you. I think that those days are rapidly diminishing, and boy, I know that's going to cause a lot of comment, but. We got to add more transparency. We got to add more process to this, and it's going to broaden the field for everybody.
Let me ask a couple. I want a couple of questions. You guys are going to talk about it for the next half hour. I have a couple of questions. It sounds like you think niche players have a very strong advantage here, and I'm wondering if someone screws up, is there a way to publicly repent and, you know, make a commitment to do better, and so someone won't rule them out automatically based on his record? I'm going to get you, baby, okay? Whoever you are, I'm going to get you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, what most people do is it's a track record. You've got your average interview rates over time, your placements over time. If you miss on a particular job, you don't do a good job, you're going to have another chance later on. If you start getting belligerent,
who's
going to
give you another chance? Who's going to give you another chance once they look at your public record? You're sitting in the stocks out there.
Yeah, no, well, if you make a mistake on one job and you don't send a great candidate, then your statistics are going to be good and your track record is going to be good enough, people are going to give you another chance. Just because you screw up on one job doesn't mean that you're not going to get other ones. People do that all the time.
What does screw up mean? How's that determined?
Yeah, what do you mean by that, Animal?
If you've had experience...
Well, you don't send out candidates that they like. I mean, it's at their discretion. You might be doing a great job, and you're working with a jerk who's got diabetes, let's say, and insulin...
Not all people that have diabetes are jerks.
Exactly.
That's right. It's a code word.
That is not cool. Not cool.
It's a code word. You know that.
Okay, so anyway, it's for you're working with a crank, and some crank gives you a bad mark when you really don't deserve it, okay? How can you do battle with that?
No, but I don't give the ability to give people bad marks. I just don't believe in that. People look at their track record. And so,
yeah,
if
the
you're
track
working...
record is the bad marks. Come on. If I can say, you know, he didn't send me any good candidates, I didn't hire from him, and really, you know, sometimes you'll send a good candidate out and they, for whatever reason, they decide too young or some stupid thing and they don't want to hire somebody you know is really good.
Yeah. If you only work on one job at Bounty Jobs, let me answer the question. If you only work on one job at Bounty Jobs and you send over 30 candidates and none of them are interviewed, you're going to have a tough time recovering from that experience. I'll grant you that.
What if all 30 were absolutely qualified?
Well, then one of them would have gotten interviewed.
I've seen it before. Submitted versus candidates interviewed. And if the company does not have a vendor list and is trying to manage their costs, this is a good tool for them instead of creating their own managed vendor list.
I like it.
If the company doesn't have time to do it, they can go out and say, I'm going to use Bounty Jobs because this way we don't have to interview all these various firms and we have one channel to go to. If a company has a vendor list, then the Bounty Jobs may not be a good tool for them because they already have the list established. But it's the same thing.
Somebody with a paper now. Okay, look, I got to end the show. Jerry, do you want this guy to stay on through the – I'll ask you right now. Do you want him to stay on through the after show so you can attack the conversation?
I believe that, unfortunately, we have a policy against it.
Right.
I will trust the policy.
I'm gonna thank you, Mike. Mike, you can come back for short stays in the future if you got a one issue or an example. You wanna, you know, if I get an example of a bad experience, I'll call you up and say, Mike, come on and try to bat this one out of the ballpark. Okay, but thank you in the meantime.
Wow. I was expecting you to give him so much more flack, Jerry.
Yeah, why? I was just trying to learn about, you know, I don't like to go off, you know, half-cocked if I don't understand.
I
thought you lived
that
way.
That, like, Bounty Jobs, the way that they were talked about a year and a half, 2 years ago, is the same way that everybody's talking about the ladders right now. So it's interesting to see.
Are they still talking about the ladders, though? I thought that was over.
Last month.
What's the latest? Any new controversies out here in the?
Don't talk
the
about that guy.
They changed their name to Step Ladders. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Love it.
Couldn't help it, bitches.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
Wow, I got some airspace to get that in there. I've been working on that for a couple weeks.
You'd probably just sit there writing potential future jokes on a scrap piece of paper, don't you?
I'm writing for the Animal Show now.
I guess I would give Bounty Jobs a shot. I mean, that's, you know, I just never have. I think a couple years ago.
You're a softboard guy, though. That's interesting that you would do that because you don't.
I'll try everything.
I think it was designed by a guy who just got tired of making placements and said, hey, you know what, I got an idea. I'm going to put this together.
Yeah.
Hey, is Animal still on there? Jim Durbin's trying to talk, and he can't get in.
That's their problem.
Well, Jerry, let me ask you a question.
That's not very nice.
Can anyone hear me?
I'm sorry, Jim Durbin.
Is that you, Jim?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I was just curious. I don't know if I was being ignored or I was on mute most of the time.
We reserve
the right to ignore you later.
Yeah, you
make a good
louder.
Joke.
Make it good.
If we,
you have to be louder than the lady.
I looked up ladder jokes on Google, and there's not any good ones. There are no good ladder jokes.
Well, I'm sorry. Step ladders wins. I just tweeted it. It's gonna. Win.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Did you put my name on that, please? Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm not a member, so.
Jim Durbin.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
You know, I was thinking about Bounty Jobs and the others. I just tried to sign up, and it actually took a longer time than I expected, and then it tells me it's waiting to verify me. But
yeah.
He's talking about 20% rate, which is fine. A lot of people work on that, especially if you're getting a large volume. But how many of those are 15 and 10%? Because we looked at these years ago, because everybody had one of these on split boards. When the companies get in, they go for these super low rates, 13 or 17%, and they just throw it out there and expect you to kind of, I mean, that's the whole point of an auction site, is to go as low as possible and have everybody work at it for nothing. How do they stop? I mean, that was my first thought.
Well,
who works at 20% for contract?
Can I jump in here? It's Rebecca. Can I jump in here real quick?
Yes, go ahead, Rebecca, from Canada.
Some of the interesting stuff about Bounty Jobs, and when they started, they would do that. You know, the employers really felt that they could push down the price on the recruiters. And it took about six months to a year to level out and find its equilibrium, and that was around that 20 mark. So when you have new clients coming into the site, they will put a fixed rate on it or they'll put a lower rate on it. When they get no response from the recruiters, that's when the rates start to go up. So it is a learning curve from the employer side. It's kind of interesting to watch that.
Are you a paid
But the fact of the matter is that, you know, back in my staffing firm days, I was on some of these high-volume vendor lists for large companies where you're just blindly – basically, the person who sends the first candidate wins. And Bounty Jobs is exactly like that. I don't really know. Like, Jerry, I'm sure you don't belong to those vendor lists, so why in the world would you even consider something like this?
Bounty Jobs is for the agencies that have chewed through every other opportunity. And
it's through the agencies that the recruiters speak with a thick accent and like being the first one to the door. I mean, that's what it is.
I'm just saying that I
– Wow.
I'm just saying that I would give it a shot. Fortunately, I've never been in a situation where I had to go find clients who don't really like recruiters and are all in one location.
And I think it's an option for candidates that you don't have anything to do with that are good. You know,
that's a very good point.
It's
not
going to be
for
your
the
main...
headhunters. It's for the mediocre recruiters that got nothing else to do. Right.
And look who just said that. The person is a big fan of Bounty Jobs. So are you telling us something about yourself, Rebecca?
Are the companies that use Bounty Jobs, the hiring companies, are they aware that, well, that's for the slacker recruiters that don't really want to do the real job, so they're all coagulated over here?
They can't.
They're uneducated companies. They're uneducated. They're not going to know exactly.
They're into the process. They're into the process. They're not into the placement. That's my take.
Do companies that use Bounty Jobs, are they obligated to only use Bounty Jobs, or can you still?
No. Yeah, that's the brutal one.
See, I don't see why companies would, you know, say I've got a good relationship with a company. I learn a lot about them. I know the flow and all these things. Why would a company knowingly get rid of those relationships, knowing that, you know, a lot of the recruiters aren't going to want to go through the Bounty Jobs portal?
Jerry?
Well, I know why that is, because you have someone new who steps in and ports over a system. So, yeah, we had a giant pharmaceutical company that just grew too fast, and they went and they hired someone from another company who just basically replaced their old system onto the new company.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care about anything else. And so, you know, when you do a changeover, it's kind of like when you bring in a new marketing director, they bring in a new agency. They're just focused on what they're going to do. They figure they're going to recreate it. And I think that's kind of what, you know, the Bounty Jobs guy's CEO was. You know, he wasn't ever a recruiter. He was a hiring manager. He goes, well, this isn't working out. I'll go work for a company that seems to be doing it right, but they don't understand that we're just a reaction to the hiring practices of the companies.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never go away because we're just doing it slightly better than they are, and that's all we ever had to do. I think that's where they miss out sometimes, because it is, it's a time loss. I mean, it's the biggest problem. I look at a site like this. I think I signed up 3 years ago just to see what happened, and I was just shocked at all the low rates. Obviously, it might change now, but I don't know. I don't know if I can spend time and feel comfortable doing it.
You know, I've always been interested in why they don't respond to anytime there's a, you know, a big hubbub or story going on about them. They will never come and comment on something. And I don't see why any, in today's social media world, why wouldn't they always want to have at least their side of the story tagged in with all of these? Because you can find dozens of, you know, Bounty Jobs sucks kinds of blogs and discussions around, and they never go in there and say, hey, this is what really happened. I just find that interesting.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah.
It's David.
Yep.
Jim Durbin, I really like what you had to say, by the way. It made a lot of sense to me. And A Stringer, as always, I agree with you.
Then get a room, okay?
But I think that they don't do that because there's a school of thought about social media, negative PR, unless it's is to just completely ignore it.
Absurd.
I think it's absurd, too, but I'm just saying it's like a lot of business problems are solved. If you ignore it long enough, the problem will work itself out. I'm not supporting it. I don't agree with that at all. I'm just saying that that seems to permeate a lot of thinking. And I also think that Bounty Jobs is helping further commoditize what it is that we do, especially those of us who try to stay, you know, in a clearly defined focus or focuses, if you will. It's really hard enough to get people to respond back to us on the client side, anything.
Not if they're good clients. I mean,
but Jerry, you have a niche. You've exploited that
not
niche.
Not necessarily. I mean, I don't really have a niche.
Okay.
But I mean, that's obviously for a different discussion. Dave,
yeah.
What are your scores today?
Oh, I would say 80 and 80. It was excellent. The gentleman from Bounty, though I don't agree with the principle of Bounty, he knew his stuff very well. He articulated it well. Animal did a really good job. He stayed right with it.
Right.
I know we were all really quiet for a long time, which is rare.
Except that one lady yapping in the background.
Oh yeah, that was ridiculous. But I mean, we weren't throwing questions at the person faster than he could assimilate an answer to. So you know, he must have intrigued us on some level. He did me. He did
all
me.
Right,
so I
am.
Scores,
please.
Yeah, 89 for Animal, and 90 for.
Man.
Actually, give them both 90s. I thought it was a great show. I thought there was a lot of there was respect. You know, Animal wasn't screaming except for the lady, so which that was
okay.
Complete lack of respect. But I thought it was a good show. It was interesting.
Cool. Thanks, Andy.
I'll give Animal an 89, and I'm going to give Mike a 100, but I'm going to take 25% and make it a 75.
Oh, that's perfect.
You are not right.
You know, and I found it interesting that he referred to their charges as what he takes. Is it just me? I don't like that phrase. I wouldn't tell somebody I'm going to take
our fee
$15,000 for this service. I just I don't consider any of it taking anything, but maybe they do.
Well, is you could be using it in the, maybe he's a poker player, you could be using it in the context of, you know, my take or the cut or whatever.
Right, yeah, there you go. Jim, what are your scores?
You know, I haven't given the scores before. I've only heard the after show a couple times, but I'm going to have to go. I thought Animal did great. I'd give him around an 84 because I do think I think he missed an opportunity. If I were a PR guy, I'd give that CEO 100. But I thought he was doing a bit more dissembling than I was comfortable with. because I'm not quite sure. I mean, granted, the analyst thought he was good, but I have to give him. I thought he did well, but maybe at 73.
Okay.
I felt there was something missing there, like we weren't getting anything new. I thought he did a great job, but he wasn't on MSNBC. You know, he was on the Animal Show.
Jim, that was for your first score. That was excellent.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you can catch this score. You guys were giving 50s last week.
Hmm.
I was like, wow, that's painful.
Yeah. Okay, who else do we have that needs to score here, please? Stella? She's still listening?
Stella.
Nick Palmer's
clearly.
You didn't know.
Nick Palmer.
Sir, I'm going to go with 72 for Animal. He was a little above the average today. And I'll go with an 88 for the guest who kept us cool and was managing his message well.
Yeah, I thought he hung right in there.
Yep.
A lot of people would have started.
He didn't get ruffled or flustered or go do the dishes or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the real deal.
Okay, who else? Scores, please. Who do we have still?
I'm here. Rebecca.
Rebecca.
You know, a 90 and a 90. I liked both. I liked the subject matter. I liked how he articulated what he does, and Animal did well with the woman chatting in the background.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else?
I was only here for the last 10 minutes of the show, so I can't.
Doesn't matter.
I just wish I had been.
What you heard.
We're fairly flexible here in the scoring.
Well, I wish I had been here longer because obviously this
so
is a subject matter I wanted
so
to discuss. But I'll give him a 90 for the piece that I was at. Like many of the guests that come on, I don't necessarily agree with their message, but I think he delivered it well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. The last 10 minutes of the show, Animal just sort of let it go and couldn't seem to get control, so I'll give him a 60.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fantastic. Anybody else?
Hey, it's Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey. I think it was a good show. I mean, Animal came at him pretty hard with some of that negative information that's out there, and they both handled it well. I'm going to give them both eights.
Mm-hmm. Can I turn those into 80s for you? What's
sure, 80. Sorry, 80. 80 and 80.
Boring recently, I know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can
you
give
know,
a score of an 8,
laugh,
but
we,
that'd
we,
be
we,
a fairly
we,
low
we,
score for you thinking it was true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're given single digits, then it had to be whole numbers, now it's, you know.
Yes.
Double digits.
Just trying to find the best way.
Jerry, are you doing a complicated or complex statistical analysis of the scoring trends?
No.
Single digits?
No.
It's just, you know, tongue in cheek.
This is about as basic as it gets, Dave. And I'm trying to make it even more basic than it already is.
You got
to
keep it real simple with me. I am not that smart.
Yeah.
It'd be great to see a bar graph of all the scores over the course of a year.
There would be. Anybody else?
Jerry.
What? Did I overlook somebody? What happened?
No, you're just funny.
No, you're casual. Yeah, it would
yeah.
be. That was
it
cool.
would
yeah.
be. I'm not doing it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Maybe David wants to do it.
What? The statistical
like
analysis? I was just
analysis.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Spreadsheet. Yeah, that's too heavy.
Say it. No, I was just kidding. That's all. I was just kidding.
I'm sure Jerry's got all the scores stored somewhere. Yeah,
somewhere.
He saved them all.
Somewhere is the key.
It's for his University of Phoenix PhD in broadcast journalism.
I have one of those.
Yeah. Hey, do you think I could get something like that?
$60.
No. Nah.
You can also become a minister and marry people too.
I already occupied that spot.
I'm thinking about getting my NBA from Columbia.
Rayanne, those flowers are going to your head.
Yeah.
Actually, I got one of those not to marry people, but just for the good parking spot.
What are you talking about?
Quiet, Jerry.
What?
Telling Jerry to be quiet. He knows exactly what. Be quiet, Jerry.
We're all in the same stream. I think we have to know, right? It's not a secret. I mean,
Rayanne has a boyfriend.
Oh, stop it.
Lucky guy.
Okay, you guys have been fantastic. I happen to have a walleye that wants to be a sandwich.
Barely working. Barely working.
Rayanne, yeah. Before you go, instant message me. I want to send you a link to a short that I did. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Cool. I'll do that.
Cool.
And none of us can get that same link then.
Finn, yeah, you can. Sure, I'll put it. I'll post it. It's.
Yeah, second. I don't want it.
You've seen it, I think. You already critiqued it, Jerry. I asked you to critique it. It's the second tree from the corner. I play the psychotherapist. You've all seen it.
You guys are all great.
I see it. I can't remember.
Hey, you all can keep on talking. I need to throw some walleye and some hot peanut oil.
Oh, God.
I'm hungry.
See you guys. Have
all
a good one.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.